SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we get the good, the bad, and the dumb to end the week. Oh, let's feel good. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day is that story has been going around this week. We haven't mentioned it yet. Now it's time to mention it. John Cena had
this was a great story.
Had made a $1 bet with a little-known pitcher named Logan Allen one night when they met each other in a Southern California restaurant. They actually met each other. The details of them meeting up with each other are kind of fuzzy. You know, I don't know if John Cena approached him or if it was a mutual friend, kind of knew each other, a manager, whatever. But they met each other. They started talking at 9 o'clock, finished their conversation about 4 o'clock in the morning. So they had a really good conversation. John Cena bet Logan Allen, who was in the minor leagues at the time, bet him $1 that he would never make it to the major leagues.
Ah, okay.
So earlier this week, Logan Allen was the starting pitcher for your San Diego Padres. John Cena was in attendance. Since he happened to be in San Diego or in Southern California at that time, he was in attendance and did pay up $1.
That's awesome. Did he sign it?
I don't know if he signed it. No, the two of them are now really good friends. Logan Allen, in a post-game interview, said that John Cena called when he found out that he was going to be starting for the major leagues. He said John Cena left about as many messages as his own mom.
That's awesome. Good for him.
And so and John Cena sings like, I bet him $1 because, you know, I wanted him. It was almost like I wanted to challenge him. I wanted to push himself. I wanted him to prove me wrong.
Yeah, but you could make a really nice memento. You have John Cena sign the dollar put up the scorecard, put up the pictures.
Well, I mean, and he did
make a nice little collage.
He pitched 7 innings, didn't give up an earned run, and earned the win for the game. Had 5 strikeouts.
I saw it where he got a strikeout to end the 7th, probably knowing that was it for him. His work was done. And he had this just jubilation celebration on the mound with the strikeout.
As if he won thrilled. The World Series.
Yeah, he's like, I'm leaving here with the lead. I did my job. I didn't blow it. I'm going to win this thing. Pretty good moment. That was a really good.
No, it was. It really was just a feel good moment.
It really was. All right. Now on the flip side, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day was that Kawhi Leonard was in attendance at a Blue Jays game yesterday.
Saw that.
And received a hero's welcome.
Saw that.
Why is this bad, you say? Because it's going to become bad when he rips the heart out of the city when he leaves Toronto.
Don't get too comfortable.
Oh my God.
Don't get too enjoyable.
What will the backlash be? I mean, he came walking down those steps. He got a standing ovation during the middle of a Blue Jays game.
They're going to do everything they possibly can to convince him to stay, and he's still going to leave. And there are two choices for you Raptor fans out there. Either one, you accept it and still treat Kawhi Leonard as an awesome hero, or B, get bitter. But I wouldn't get bitter because when he came to your city, didn't want to be there, but still gave you the thing you've craved the most.
Yep. So, I mean, can they be upset with him? Say,
no.
Say if he leaves during this offseason, he's like, you know what, I'm going to take my talents. You know, Lakers have scrapped together enough money, although they could have made it a lot easier for themselves, but they finally found a way to scrap together enough money to pay Kawhi Leonard to become part of their organization. When the Lakers go to Toronto next season, will he be booed?
No. Not
I think he
all.
Would be.
No.
I think he's going to rip the heart out of Toronto.
No, because he never promised anything.
And he'll single-handedly start a war with Canada.
I think he's played it right. He never promised anything. He never said, I'm going to do X. I love it here. I'm going to stay here. He never did any of that stuff. He was traded there. Clear he didn't like it, but he won a title, but he never made any promises, and I think he can leave. Yeah, will there be some? Yeah, you might be right. There might be some that will do it. But I think for the most part, I think if you're a smart NBA fan, you know that you read the tea leaves. He didn't want to be there. He didn't choose to go there and then change his mind. right? He was forced to go there and won you a championship. So if it was up to him, he would have never showed up to begin with.
True. So I just can't wait. I know it's the inevitable is coming, and
yep.
I think it would shock. That would be a shock of all shocks, right? If he says, "Yeah, I'm going to sign a 3-year deal here."
Yeah, that's so kinda true.
You know, Paul George-esque, because we all thought Paul George was going to be in Oklahoma for 1 year and then take his talent somewhere else. And he was like, "No, I like Russell Westbrook. I'm going to stay."
Well, it's like if you have a dream city you want to live in, imagine if somebody was building a house that they were going to give to you in your dream city and you still turned it down. I mean, the Lakers are building this championship level team. If you're in Toronto, you may love Toronto. You may love the Raptors, Masai, Nick Nurse, your teammates, Kyle Lowry, all of that. But when you're looking at LeBron and Anthony Davis are making movies and having a good time and winning games and Laker Nation is losing its mind, and you had a chance to be a part of that, and you said no, I think you'd regret it. It's not, look, if Kawhi didn't have a tie to Los Angeles, I would say, all right, 50-50. But the tie to Los Angeles, even without Anthony Davis being there, is enough to, was still swaying, you know, pulling into Kawhi. But I agree. Poor Toronto. They're doing everything they possibly can, and it may not be good enough.
Yeah, it's not going to be good enough. Well, they probably should do, just give him a free hotel room in the Sky Dome.
That's right. Give him a free hotel room.
Just watch baseball games from there. All right, on to the dumb today. The dumb of the day isn't really dumb. The best way I can describe it is that it's dumb rooted in jealousy.
Okay.
Okay, you and I like our jobs. We have great jobs. But you often see these dream jobs pop up, whether it's, you know, hey, you're gonna live on a private island, live in this house, and all you have to do is blog about it for a year.
Yeah, pays like $100,000.
Yeah, and you look there, and it's like, how fantastic would that be? You know, just sit there and just write about my day. Like, oh, I went snorkeling today. I slept in a hammock for 7 hours. It was fantastic on some private island, you know, in a mansion. I don't know. There's another one out here, because I guess the dumb is I don't know really how you can get hired. And this is something I really would want to do, and I know you would really want to do it as well. Because someone is going to get paid $5,000 per week.
Wow.
To drive around and find the best barbecue ribs in America.
Oh, my God. Who's putting that up? Which company is offering that gig? What in the world is this?
Yeah.
There are people that will do that for free. What are you, crazy? What are you talking about?
$5,000 per week. It's the Reynolds Kitchen 2019 Chief Grilling Officer. Well, that's... we'll get paid $5,000 per week to find the best ribs in America. It's a 2-week gig.
Okay, it's a 2-week gig. All right, that's not enough time.
You could probably stretch that.
That's not enough time.
Oh, listen. No, I'm sorry. No, it's $5,000. You get I read this wrong. You get a $10,000 stipend along with prepaid travel and lodging for you.
Okay, that's still a pretty good deal. To find the best ribs in America, we're not talking about going to like Birmingham, Alabama. We're talking about taking a back road to a back road to a back road,
yep,
and finding a small restaurant barbecue
that
shack.
That literally is a shack.
And that's where it is.
It's barely standing, but they have a grill.
Right? But that's where you go. You go to some of these places in the South, I kid you not. You go to some of these places in the South that has this great barbecue in the middle of nowhere. Couldn't find it on a map. You go in there and there are pictures of presidents on the wall.
Yep.
You know, Elvis, you know, whoever, like name your celebrities that hear about this and say to their people, get me to that place. And they go, oh, come on, King, we can get ribs anywhere. And they're like, nope, I want to go to Tillamooka, Mississippi. And we're going to go to this. And then you go there and it's some guy just sweating over ribs, over things like he's got the best sauce or whatever it is does with them. That's
best dry
the place.
Rub. I mean, it's, you know, it literally is one of those places where you don't even know how that building is standing.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You're afraid to walk in, but the smell is intoxicating.
Dad, he gave me the recipe, passed down 5 generations.
And maybe every once in a while you hit up one of those festivals, like that barbecue festival where you can just try multiples at once.
I watch that barbecue pitmaster show sometimes on Destination America, I think that channel is, where they have the barbecue competition. I I love it. I love it. So like, but
how do you get hired to do this? I mean, you know, they have the instructions. You know, you're supposed to fill out an essay, and I think the deadline is July 19th to fill out an essay because they're going to send you out in August. But it's like some person is going to be randomly selected, basically, and be told, hey, you got to go drive around America and find the best ribs in America.
Yeah, and if that means if you hear about some place in, like, Washington State, you got to be getting your car and head on over there.
Exactly.
Man, that's going to be, what a gig.
Yeah,
what a great gig.
That's not a bad thing to do.
You know, on a kind of a side note, you ever heard of the writer Chuck Klosterman?
No.
He was an author. He worked for Rolling Stone magazine. His editor gave him an assignment once to rent a car, and his job was to travel around the United States to go to areas where rock stars had died or something tragic happened and write about the impact of that to the community. Like, you would go to Memphis to talk about people about Elvis,
right.
Seattle for Kurt Cobain. There was the white, remember the whites, was it White Snake or Fire? There was a fire for a band.
No, it was in
Connecticut, I think, or Rhode Island. Yeah, and just talk about that. And while it was a little morbid, he talked about the road, like being in this rental car and traveling all around the country and writing this story. And I always thought that was kind of a cool way to spend a good portion of your year.
Yeah, no, I think
it was morbid. It was a sad thing to write about. But
he had to South Dakota, right? It was in the South Dakota where the day the music died.
That's right. He went there too, right? So he went to these places and then he would write a story about the tragedy, the impact, what it meant, the aftermath, all of those things. And then he would move on to somewhere else. And then he would write another one. And he basically turned it into a book. But I found that life kind of fascinating, that you kind of on your own time, do your own thing, travel, absorb. Because I was just talking about the road trip I'm going to take today.
Exactly.
I only care about point A to point B. I get to point B. I don't pay attention to what's in the middle enough.
Right. But that's one of the reasons why I brought this up. It's like, okay, what if your mission was to, in between Nashville and Florida, was to find some of the best barbecue places along the way?
That would be awesome. That would be great.
You would take your time.
I would take my time.
But you would have to do it alone.
But I get this. Yeah, exactly.
And you got to be single.
But I do. But I get this all the time. Like, wherever I've lived, and I've lived in a lot of places, right? Like, when I lived in Vegas and I would drive to L.A., or I lived in Denver and I would drive out wherever, I would get told all the time, oh, man, you got to go to this mom and pop Italian restaurant. They got the best pizza. And I'd go, oh, really? Where is it? And they go, well, you get off highway, get off exit 61, and then you go about 10 miles, and then you turn left, and then you go another about 10 miles. And I'm like, no. Sorry, I'm not, no. It needs to be immediately off the highway or I'm not going to be going. In this scenario with the ribs, you take your time.
Oh,
drive
yeah.
all over. Go down that back road. Go down that dirt road and find these places. That's awesome.
Yeah, you gotta go into that small town and ask someone, and they'll tell you where Smokey Pete lives.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, but the directions are, it's like, yeah, you'll come and you'll see a stump in the road. Now, 50 yards after that stump you won't see the driveway, but that's where you turn into.
Yep, and then
those type
up.
Of directions, and then you're
knock
the
three
best
times
barbecue.
And say the magic word, and he'll let you in. The best ribs in town. That's awesome. It's Good, the Bad, and the Dumb on a Friday. It's SB Nation Radio.